Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I wish he mentioned me. I'm pissed.
You're pissed?
I wish I had a little shout out.
I want to know what would happen if you, like, debated him.
I would fucking destroy him in a debate.
You think so?
I would do him. I'm challenging him right now.
Look in the camera.
I challenge Donald John Trump to a debate.
Anytime.
Excited to be here.
I'm excited that you're here as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And it's not just you. It's the people within you.
Well, that's true, right? I will tell you that it's surreal. Excuse me. Shut your mother's here. She's a nasty woman. but I will tell you, it is a great thrill to be on the podcast with It's Daisy.
It is.
Is it like a flower?
Yeah, just like a flower.
Grabbed by the daisy. When you're a star, you can do anything, right? Grabbed by the daisy.
You're picking me.
But I will tell you, it's a tremendous show. You're one of the great beauties of comedy. People say that. You're a terrific woman.
Thank you.
I always said, perhaps if you weren't my daughter, we'd be dating, right?
Well, I think maybe even if I was.
That's true. Thank you. Thank you very much, honey.
I'm not against that.
That's great. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you very much.
Anytime.
She's going to be an excellent vice president. She looks like Kristi Noem, don't you? That kills her puppies, right?
Oh, yeah. And
that's great.
You love puppies and you love
dogs. Oh, I love puppies. Am I out of character now? That was it. Okay.
Yeah, you can get
out. We did a little Don.
We can.
Yeah, we got to do a little Don. It's topical.
Yeah, you're right with the dog stuff. Like, you always have him talk about dogs.
Says, like a dog. I don't know where that
dogs.
Came from. No, because this Kristi Noem, who was a governor who, like, wanted to be his vice president, she killed her puppies. And, like,
I
she made
you were kidding.
No, that was a real thing.
She actually killed them?
Yeah, and this came out like a day before I did the correspondence dinner, hello resume, and it like destroyed her chances. But I just thought it was funny because Trump always says like a dog.
He says like a dog.
He does.
Beautiful dogs.
I know. I don't know where that came from.
He just loves them. With the correspondence dinner, that's a tough crowd, dude. How did you feel up there?
I loved it. I mean, like, and thankfully the tape worked out really well, like especially the end when I did the Mitch McConnell thing and then Scarlett Johansson was laughing.
Yeah.
And I was it looks like I shat my pants when I was doing it. It was a really creepy resting face. But no, it was insane. I mean, that was crazy. Dude. It was much like this. Same thing.
Obviously. Yeah. Same level, same scope, same level of importance. How did you
I love your casting couch.
Dude, of course.
Harvey Weinstein's office. You have a plant over there, too.
Well, he doesn't have a plant in his.
Well, he definitely had a plant. It was a cum plant. Sorry to ruin plants for you.
Did you have a cum plant?
Yes, he did.
No, he fucking didn't.
Yeah, pretty
sure. Did he actually?
It wasn't my plant. I'm pretty sure. I wonder, like, I think about who installed that plant. Like, who installed Matt Lauer's button? I think about, like,
just the logistics of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a live plant or a fake plant?
I don't know. But if it was a live plant, that's how it got water.
I'm sorry for asking, like, you know.
That's how it got water.
You're the one who installed the plant.
Right, I did not.
You know the inner workings of the... It wasn't.
Satellite didn't, yeah, exactly.
It wasn't me. But it was someone who worked really hard and got paid really well for it. No, but with the correspondence dinner, like, going into that, were you nervous or were you like, this is my lane completely?
I mean, if there's no nerves, then you shouldn't be doing performing, probably, period. But like, it was totally like one of my dreams to do that. And like, my goal is to headline it.
Yeah.
And now I think it's like, anything's possible. But no, it was surreal. And I loved it. I mean, like, that kind of a room, especially like, I don't only do political humor, but it's kind of probably my favorite stuff to talk about. And being there in that moment, it was a surreal group of people. Like, Lorne Michaels is 30 feet away from me. There's the Secretary of State. Biden is 40 feet from me. The vice president is like this crazy group of Democrats, Republicans. And it's kind of a sort of an impossible room because no one wants to be seen on camera laughing. So reporters don't want to be caught laughing at certain jokes about their network or other networks. And then like Lara Trump is there And then like the most liberal senator is there. So it's just like a very weird group of people.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I think you cracked them.
I think there were a few people who were trying to hold poker faces that I saw back there that kind of couldn't maintain.
It was also weird too, because like I'm aware of my level. Like yeah. I know I seem confident, but like I'm aware of like, I'm not Jimmy Fallon. Like, so like, it's like most people were like, who the hell is this guy? I didn't really have an introduction. I just kind of started performing mm-hmm. and I came up from the middle of the room. I wasn't on stage. So I was in the center and they'd never done that before. So they're like,
is he supposed to be up there?
Say it again.
They're like, is he supposed to
no,
be
like,
up there?
No, like probably. They're like, what the hell is happening right now?
With impressions, like when you do an impression of somebody in front of somebody, do they react like badly? Do they love it? Is it a mixed bag?
So far, they've all loved it. It doesn't sound humble, but I think just like the way you approach it, you know, mm-hmm. like you got to be nice to people. It's, for me, for the most part, it comes out of a lot of respect mm-hmm. and admiration. And then I try to sound like the person. So if it's accurate.
Yeah,
then,
you do though.
But like it all started on the street. Like I genuinely would run into people. Like I met Andy Cohen, John mm-hmm. Oliver, Sebastian Maniscalco, Rami Malek, like all on the street within the span of like a couple of months. It was very weird. It was like two years ago. And then I started like doing the award show stuff at the Globes and all these awards, different things. And that is my favorite thing. Cause that was always my favorite part of SNL, like Jimmy Fallon and Seinfeld or Andy Samberg and Nick Cage, Fallon, Mick Jagger. I love like, doing it next to the person. And now in the world we live in, I've kind of been finding a way to do it.
Yeah. And I was stalking your Instagram. You do it a lot. You find people a lot and you do it. And it does seem like, at least through the camera, it does seem like they all have a really positive reaction to it.
Yeah. No, it's thank God. Thank God. Yeah, exactly.
How long does it take for you to memorize somebody? Does it matter how distinct their voice is or what?
I think it just kind of depends. Like if it's, you know, I think I try to stay really relevant. Mm-hmm. Look at what movies people are talking about, who's, you know, in pop culture. I look at big names, topical names. I think I can get it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Some I've been doing for a long time. I can hear the evolution of it getting better. Mm. But for the most part, it can happen pretty quickly, but it probably will get better over time.
Okay. And you're really good at like expressing the way that people express. Like your mimicry doesn't just stop at the voice. I feel like you always get the expressions.
Yeah, like
and the
Rami Malek face.
Yeah. That's exactly what he looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel like that helps with the voice?
I think it probably does, because I try to like embody that person.
Because like the way that they move probably
like King Charles, I always walk like him as well. So all of his words sort of go together. You know, it's quite crazy the way his words are strung.
Oh, then God.
I kind of arch my back and my teeth. I feel it in my body.
You're so good.
Yeah.
You're a very physical actor, not just vocally, which I feel like I don't really see as many people do impressions where they embody the physical as well as you do.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I wish you were a casting director or something.
This is my casting
coach. I love it.
No, it's true. Just bring me. I'll stand in the background. Do you know that? Like, have you noticed how much he physically embodies?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen that about him?
Exactly.
The way that he's moving? Did you see the arch of the back?
Exactly.
I saw that.
Ooh, I like this.
I can be your little foot guy.
Fuck it. That's great.
I do have a deep respect for impressions though, because like I'm not good at them, and I love when other people can do them. So like, when did you start? Have you always been doing it?
I was 4 years old and I watched the movie Austin Powers, and that was the first one I did. Dr. Evil and Fat Bastard and Goldmember, all the Mike Myers characters, and then it starts with trying to make your parents laugh.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I would do my grandfather, my uncle, teachers. Mm-hmm. And that's how it got started.
Have you ever seen The Master of Disguise?
Yeah.
Did you like that movie?
Mm-hmm.
I used to do impressions of that. Not good
ones. Can I hear one?
No. Okay. You can hear one.
It's your podcast. Let's hear it. Let's go.
I'll do it just for you, but don't expect it to be good.
Okay.
I would just do like, am I not turtly enough for the turtle pop? don't give me a pity laugh.
It's my new text tone.
Stop.
I like that.
Am I not turtly enough?
I like it.
Thank you for lying to my face.
This is a comedy podcast, so I wonder if they're going to comment on my lack of socks.
You know what? I just thought you had low socks. You have no socks?
Well, there's like a no-show sock.
It's a no-show sock. I also have a European vibe.
You know?
You're doing it with the ankles.
I think so.
You know, if you did like no deodorant, it would really embody
That'd
it.
That'd be kind of disgusting.
Yeah, but that's what they do.
I don't like that.
They don't like it.
Yeah, put deodorant on. That's gross.
I think so too. That's
vile.
I saw someone on TikTok say that Europe smells because of the American tourists, and I was like, I don't know about that. I'm not sure there's enough of us over there, to be honest.
Yeah. No, there's a lot.
There's a lot, but
still, they might be wearing deodorant.
That's what I'm saying. I think they're wearing deodorant.
Yeah, there's a lot of tourists, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So with your career, like, when do you feel like your moment, like, happened where you really started to gain, like, a ton of traction?
I don't know. It's funny, like, when I do podcasts and things, like, I'm like, Trump, people is saying. But no, like, when people ask, like, blowing up. And I just feel like it's a gradual thing. You know, I don't feel like one thing is happening overnight. It just feels like, you know, there's like some luck involved. Obviously, like, I'm very aware and grateful for, you know, like, everything, but, it just feels like an incremental build. This year has been, I have an itch. This year has been crazy though. Just like started off Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest in January, and then doing like all the award show stuff that blew up, and then obviously performing at the Correspondents' Dinner and doing the Netflix Festival, and now hosting this show. So it's like, and then the Bill Maher thing. So it's like kind of back to back, just, I don't know. It all kind of started in the pandemic. Like, I was posting on TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram, all the platforms. I graduated college in COVID.
Did you really?
So yeah, so it's class of 2020.
Oh my God.
So I was really taking advantage of those platforms early on. And then that's probably the moment where people were starting to discover me and what I could do.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, you got a ton of reach during that. Do you feel like your time at NYU helped you prepare for your career right now? Or you feel like you went to college and that's that?
I think there was an advantage of being in New York. I loved it. I wasn't really in comedy groups necessarily, but I was able to, I did some stuff, but I was able to really kind of take advantage of the New York comedy scene and get a head start and start performing. Like, I was doing sets on the same show as like Seinfeld would come in every Monday at Gotham. And that's like a crazy experience when I'm like 18 watching this. Jim Gaffigan would come by all the time. So it was wild.
What did you major in while you were there?
This is insane. I was in a program called Gallatin, where you design your own major. It's like the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good.
It's like multidisciplinary.
Yeah, I majored on the history of podcasts. No, I did. It was like the role of satire in society.
Really?
I know.
That is so, it was like a lot of
like,
specific.
There were some specific comedy classes that I took, but it was a lot of like English and theater, like different things. It was, you know what, it was a beard, okay, for going to college, right? It was a great place, but I was doing comedy, the occasional class, who cares? Okay, but I guess I'm kind of applying it, right?
Yeah, no, you are definitely directly applying it. I would say that.
I'm directly, not kind of, yeah.
Yeah, like you're kind of embodying
it. How about you? What did you do?
Dude, I went to acting school and then I switched schools and then I did a bullshit major that was multidisciplinary studies. I went to U of H.
University of Phoenix?
No.
Okay, gotcha.
I went to University of Houston.
Okay, gotcha. Amazing.
And then I went to
Stony
Brook.
I like how you said University of Houston.
University of Houston in the third ward.
It's great.
Beyonce's stomping grounds.
Beautiful.
But no, and then I switched to Stony Brook and was like, I'm going to try and do my own major track that's like STEM oriented. And then I was like, this sucks. And then I dropped out. So I'm a college dropout.
Well, you seem successful now, so.
Thank you.
You have a great fit too, I feel like.
You like my fit?
I feel like comedians, there's a struggle with what to put on, but you got it going.
It is hard to decide what to put on.
The shoes are cool. Everything looks great.
Dude, you like my knockoffs?
You shouldn't have told me that.
They're fake Rick Owens and they don't make them in orange. So sneakerheads keep stopping me and being like, where did you get orange Rick Owens? And I'm like, for $20.
Say he designed them for me.
I should have said that this whole time.
He's a sponsor in my podcast.
Should have been like, he loves me. Oh, Rick?
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Owen?
That'd be great.
My best friend. Okay. So I was going to ask like what's on the horizon for you, but I already know. I mean, we can talk about it more in depth, but like you're going to be hosting the NHL Awards. You just found out.
Right? Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. It's fucking insane. Yeah, it's next week in Vegas. On ESPN, first time hosting a big award show.
Yeah.
And it's been like, it's funny, comedians hate award shows. They think it's terrible. I think it's an amazing thing for a comedian.
You just
have to like know how to read, like any room, you have to know how to read the room.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm very excited. And I grew up like a Blackhawks fan, so I'm particularly excited about it.
Ooh.
And then, I'm doing my own show like with Bill Maher.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask more about that because he has
another guy I do. Okay, great. Great. And finally, new rule, if you're going to do a podcast, make sure you have a cum plant behind you. Right.
You could just take over
whenever
his podcast.
Whenever I have one of these mics, I just want to do Howard. Right. This is the Howard Stern microphone. Right.
It is.
Right. You hear that. Right.
I do.
isn't this look at your mom? She loves me. She's like my mom.
She's trying not to audibly laugh.
Right.
I told
right.
her to be quiet back there.
I know. Go ahead.
No, but like you ever think about like you could just pretend to be somebody full time, and if there's no video component, like do you think you could get away with it for how long?
We did Howard prank calls. So I did Howard like a couple weeks ago, and we prank called a bunch of places as Howard. It was so stupid. It was hilarious.
They love
so I think
it.
Like if it's for sure, I think certain ones I can try.
Yeah, I think that you could with prank calls, you could probably get away with that for pretty much anybody, depending on like who picks up on the other end.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like,
love it.
You could go full like Joe Biden and people would be like, the president just
that
called
be
me,
tough,
honey.
But yes, yes.
If they're old enough, they'd be like,
probably.
Joe Biden just called me.
Biden can
you
call
believe
himself.
That?
Yeah,
exactly. That's true. He might on accident.
Yeah, exactly.
How was it meeting him? You like him? Feel like it was cool?
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it's like, it's funny. Like when I posted a photo of me with Biden, I lost a bunch of followers in a couple hours.
Oh, dang.
So it's just interesting. It's like the world we live in now, you have the opportunity to meet the president in the White House. And yeah. People are like, how dare – it's like, what? I posted a photo with the president in the White House. Like, what's the problem?
You're like, you know? A once in a lifetime.
It was very cool. It was insane. Yeah.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to the White House, actually, and I got uninvited for some reason.
Oh, boy.
So what love happened? That for you.
Great. What happened?
I don't know.
Oh.
They wouldn't tell me. I was like, they technically.
I think you definitely know. There's no way you don't know why you get uninvited to the White House.
They just keep pushing it back.
Oh, boy.
So they're like, oh, you're still coming.
Great.
And I'm like,
I guess I appeared on a mass murderers podcast. That's incredible.
No. Joe's watching it right now.
Up like, Jesus Christ.
He's so betrayed. He's like, yeah. You went on her podcast?
Oh, my God.
We're frenemies. Exactly. I have beef with her right now.
Yeah. Kellyanne Conway's daughter, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Wait. How is she doing, actually, though?
Who?
I haven't seen her.
The daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
She was going crazy viral.
I was saying
a
that was who you
back.
Are. I was making a joke.
That would be crazy if I was her.
That's your mother right there. Yeah.
Luckily.
Thank God.
Instead of Kellyanne. So you do a lot of political stuff. Do you feel like outside of the comedic component of it that you're like a highly political person, or is it just great source material?
I've always been really interested in politics, but I'm not like necessarily political. I've followed very closely. It informs a lot of my comedy, but yeah, I think that's kind of just the answer. I've always like Bill's one of my heroes, and it's like that's why I'm excited to work with him on this, because he similar just like grew up in a family that always kind of talked about it, was very aware of what was happening, and then all the material is just like seemingly endless.
Yeah, it definitely has just become like a circus with social media, I feel, because like everything
yeah,
gets
insane.
Captured, so you
it's
have
amazing.
So much to right. work with.
Thank God.
I know. So since like he's your hero, when he gave you like an offer, did he give you an offer, or did you request to work with his network?
No, they offered. Yeah. I mean, like I met, you know, his like executive producer of the mm-hmm. podcast, and we just kind of hit it off, and it just made sense. I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy because he's like, he's just a legend. So, and he's Dude. Like the nicest guy as well. I think people yeah. think he's a little intimidating, which he is, but he's the man.
He seems a little tough, but
oh,
he seems
is.
Nice.
Oh, he's tough. Okay. He's tough. Yeah, he is. He's tough.
That's good, though. You kind of have to be a little tough in
you do.
Entertainment.
You do.
For you, because, like, you know, I guess it depends what corner of entertainment you're in, but I think it's fair to paint it a little bit with a broad brush, since it's just kind of like a bit of a predatory kind of cutthroat industry.
Yeah.
When you were, like,
Aren't
building...
they all?
Right? That's true, actually. When you're building your
My
team...
My friends are in finance. Like, it's like...
Oh, well, the finance bros, yeah, they're
law,
also
I think
very
tough. Like, I think, like, what industry is not... really cutthroat? I'm just thinking about it like from on a business entrepreneurial level.
That's a good question. Maybe like the gardening business.
Yeah, the gardening business,
you know. Yeah. But even then I feel like actually not.
But
maybe,
yes, I interrupted you, I apologize.
Maybe if you own an orchard, you
yeah,
could
exactly.
get pretty cutthroat with like the space
exactly
of it all, like the real estate component. But for you, like when you're building your team,
yeah,
did you have like a hard time building your team, finding people that you can work with?
Oh, you mean like agents or whatever?
Yeah, like setting up like the infrastructure of like how to get shit done for you. What's that like?
That's just, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think it just sort of like people finding me, I think just on like, I don't even like, there's like certain ways, like getting an agent, like people finding me just on social, and then like kind of gradually like one thing leads to another. And then just like, it's just all about kind of who, this isn't a good answer to your question, but it's just like who makes sense at the right time.
That is a good answer, I think, because you're just talking about building your network.
But ultimately, like, a lot of the stuff is, like, you have to be, like, grinding yourself. Like, you have to, like, if you don't work, like, no one else is going to work. So, like, yeah. you have to, like, constantly be creating things and...
That's true.
You know.
So you feel like you blew up mainly with like TikTok and everything.
Yeah.
And then you sort of like, from the outside perspective, from your side, I'm sure it's like nothing like this. Maybe you have like imposter syndrome about it because you seemingly from the outside, you've blown up really fast. But like you have been with you the whole time. So I'm sure it seems a lot slower. But like you're having a little bit of a meteoric rise right now. How did you transition from social media to more mainstream media?
I think I've always just kind of been doing a bunch of things. I was doing TikTok early on, but I started doing, I was doing stand up in college, like before that. And then it was just a combination of like, I would do a bunch of different, like I always had the live component and then I would always also had a digital component. And then I was doing like local talk shows and then the Howard stuff started to happen. So it was just like, it just sort of organically happened that way. And I've always had, been very vocal about like mainstream ambitions. Like I'm pretty clear on what my goals are and what I want to do. And I think I have like a pretty old school vibe. Yeah, I'm 25.
I think like you're classic, but you're an old soul, maybe.
Yeah, like I love like Frank Sinatra and Don Rickles and Johnny Carson and all the old guys. So I think that just, I don't know. It just sort of, I guess it's just, I don't know if like there's a full transition because like no matter what I do, social will always be so important.
Yeah, for sure.
Like if you're a big actor, comedian, you don't have a social presence. It's not really, it's the world we live in. You have to. The biggest movie stars are, why is Kevin Hart posting on his Instagram? He has like $500 million, but he's doing it because that's how you keep it going.
That is how you keep it going.
Yeah. And
especially like the A-listers transitioning onto social media. Some people, like Kevin Hart's been doing it pretty effortlessly, like luckily for him, but other people have a little bit of a hard time. So you have a bit of a leg up.
He's amazing. Yeah.
In that way, like, cause you've been doing it the whole time.
Yeah. I think it's just product of the generation.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That's just like, it's also like the way I'm getting discovered too. Like this couldn't happen in any other, you used to have to like either do SNL or like do a spot on the Tonight Show and it had to go really well. And now if you're proactive and like creating, you can get discovered like from your phone.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is crazy.
So your ultimate goal, do you want your own show? You want to do movies? Like what do you want?
I think like, yeah, movies that has an interest. I mean, I love like late night and it's funny because that world, like I'm 25, like what's that going to be in a decade? Who the hell knows? But I love like political satire and I definitely like want to host more award show type things and do voiceover. Like, how about you? Like, there's a lot I want to do.
Dude, yeah. It's like hard. It's hard with the social media stuff to figure out where to go. Cause it's such like a, you have such broad options. You know, once you have a platform, people are watching you.
For sure.
You can kind of go anywhere with that. So it really is up to like your discretion and kind of just your abilities and luck. Sure. A lot of it is like also just people
casting
happening
count.
To see you.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like, who happens to see you?
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Do you feel like if you had to break down percentages, like how much of it for you is like work ethic, raw talent, luck?
No matter what I say, people will say whatever they think.
Well, who cares about
that? But I think it's a combination of things. Like number one, I'm fully aware of like, you know, privilege of growing up with a, you know, like amazingly supportive parents and a great family growing up in Chicago, amazing childhood, great friends and family. But since I'm not in an entertainment family business, like, so I'm kind of paving my own way here.
Yeah.
I think there's like luck in terms of certain, like the NHL, like there could have been a million different, like Will Arnett, Keenan, these guys have been the recent hosts. Like it's insane that I'm doing it. So I'm grateful for that, but there's a lot of work. Like I'm kind of going nonstop.
Yeah.
So kind of,
what's your work-life balance like? Non-existent?
I mean, I definitely can have like fun for sure. But I mean, I'm never really not thinking about it.
Yeah.
I got to constantly be making things and creating a video or something too. Yeah.
You feel like you're a little bit of a workaholic maybe?
I don't know about a workaholic because I think I have a good balance. Like like I said, like I think I can turn it off, but it's a big part of my life right now.
Well, it's all, yeah, I was going to say, it's also just like, you're in that building phase. You kind of like have to stay
locked for sure.
In, you know?
There's no alternative.
There's really, and then maybe you can relax a little later.
I'll sleep when I'm dead, right?
Yeah, well, luckily you picked like a fun career though. You know?
No, exactly. Seriously.
Makes it a lot easier.
Excel spreadsheets, I couldn't handle that.
Me neither.
That'd be a disaster.
Dyslexic, there's no way.
Oh, that's even better.
It would never happen for
me. Okay, good.
Ever. So you're from the Midwest?
Mm-hmm.
I live in the Midwest right now. I live literally in Indianapolis.
There you go.
Really close to Chicago.
Amazing.
That's probably why you have like an old soul, honestly.
It could be.
It probably is.
Chicago's great.
Chicago is great.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, because you had like a supportive family, you feel like that gave you like a leg up in comedy, or you feel like it gave you less source material? Because I feel like a lot of people's source material is like talking about their
childhood. I mean, like, there's a lot of like idea of like a tragic clown.
Yeah.
People who like had horrible upbringings or whatever. I think it gave me a leg up in terms of like confidence in myself, I guess. But in terms of my comedy, I don't know if it impacted me one way or another. I mean, I'm starting to do more like personal stuff in my stand-up hour. But that's a good question. I gotta think about that. What do you think?
Dude, I think that like, I think it can really go either way.
Yeah.
You know, and
with a mother like you, I mean, anything's possible.
It's so true. But like, I don't know, self-deprecation has its place. People relate to it. They bond to it. It's probably beneficial from a parasocial like angle.
Parasocial. Wow. Yeah. That's great. Parasocial.
People are like, I get that guy. My mom sucks. You know,
I like that
probably helps. But that being said, there's probably just as many people who like grew up with loving homes where they're like, finally someone stand up. That's not going to make me depressed watching it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just, I think it's like, it's interesting how comedies evolve like that. Like it wasn't, I think I like how I love comedians that talk about mental health, all these different things. It's also like the pure silly shit too.
Yes.
But that's the amazing thing about comedy today. Like there's such a wide range of people.
Yeah.
Like
it's true.
I was just doing this Netflix festival, like so many different types of comedy in like a span of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
There really is something for everyone now, whereas like before, just like not even that
probably far too back, much. Probably too much.
Maybe too much. But like just a couple decades ago, like not everybody was like a comedy club person.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Whereas like now pretty much anybody can engage with comedic material and have a great time.
Absolutely.
It's so broad.
Absolutely.
There's so many options. Are you a business owner looking to put your ad on this popular show or any show in the podcast landscape? Leverage the power of audio marketing with Podfrog. Podfrog is a 360 podcast advertising agency with access to more than 100 million of media purchases, upwards of 10,000 shows in the fastest growing space in digital media. More than 500 million listeners are listening now, just waiting to be converted to your customers. And conversion rates tend to outdo that of social media, traditional broadcasting, and PPC marketing. Podfrog helps you with the planning, execution, and monitoring as a one-stop shop for your podcast marketing campaign. The Frog utilizes AI software to give granular data on your impressions, conversions, and target demographics. With pre-negotiated rates with networks and top producers, Podfrog gives you the lowest cost CPM in the industry guaranteed. So if you want to get your brand some exposure to this explosive potential growth vehicle of podcast marketing, email info@pod-frog.com. info@pod-frog.com. Ads on a pod, trust the frog. Do you feel like if you went back in time, you would still do comedy, or you feel like you would do something else if you're in like a different time period?
Oh my God. No, I think that depends on the time period.
Okay, let's go. Let's go like full knights, castles, princesses, damsels.
I'm the jester.
I wanted to see if you would go jester.
I want to get beheaded.
No.
Those guys would get like beheaded, a jester or something. I think. I don't know. Oh my God. This is a really, I've never been asked that question. That's a really good question. I wish I came up with the question. Yes. Do I think I'd be doing comedy? I think. I don't know.
I think you would. Okay. Context. I love
in the 40s. Yes.
In the 40s, you would
clean not in
up.
Germany, but
well, yeah, they
wouldn't
not
be good.
Funny over there anyway.
Well,
though,
well
regardless
another,
of the historical events,
but
in
America, like that would be the 50s would be a crazy era.
That would be really
it.
Cool.
It'd be insane.
That would be cool to be
Milton Berle.
You've got the look for it too. Like they would be like, I love this guy.
I like your 50s voice.
Well, thanks.
I like this guy.
You gotta stop encouraging my impressions.
He's got the goods.
But if you were a jester, though, you would kind of body that because most people, no, listen, hear me out. Most people don't
understand. I kind of was a jester. I just did it for the president.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're being exactly what a jester actually is.
I actually just did that.
Yeah.
I just realized.
No, you did. You're doing it like, you're doing it exactly because most people think like the jester's job was just to go out, be silly, like mock people, which is like part of it. But jesters were actually like very important political figures. So like they would be the only person who could like question anyone who was in power without getting beheaded.
Yeah.
And their job was also to like,
I'd like to think I
give
would.
Bad news to like other to, people.
I'd like to think I would.
Yeah. So like if Joe Biden was like, hey, someone needs to tell Kamala this bad thing, they would send you and you could do a Joe Biden voice and tell her. Like that's the actual role of a jester.
Yeah.
You would clean up.
Yeah.
You would be rich as shit also.
Bucket.
They were rich as shit.
All right.
You would kill
I like
it.
I like it. You're like, maybe you'd be an agent in another time. I like how you're thinking.
You think so?
Yeah. Fuck it.
Like an Elvis agent?
You'd be
like
a catch a nice rising one. Star signing young comedians.
Yeah. I'd be like, this guy, see?
Exactly.
This guy's got the goods. He's got a spark. Stop encouraging my
I like it. Dude. You should do a whole podcast interview. You just use that voice.
I think it would become nightmares. Grating after a while.
I like it.
You like it?
I like it.
Maybe I'll do an audiobook.
Just talk about your shoes in that voice.
Dude, my fake Rick Owens scene. You
like that? It's very good.
Thank you. Speaking of like bad impressions, is there any impressions that you like can't do that you want to do?
Women, there's more women I want to focus on. I was for women, I was doing like Jennifer Coolidge. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Oh. Miniature.
That's a good one.
There's other ones. I don't know. There's more I want to work on. Okay. I will get back to you on that.
Maybe you can work on me.
I know.
I don't know.
In what context, right? Hello, Mom. I got to think about it.
I don't think I have a distinct enough voice to be a fun impression. TVH.
No, I think you have a great one. I wonder who could do maybe like a Kristen Wiig could do you or something like that.
She probably could.
Probably.
In high school, my choir teacher said I looked like
who
her.
Who do you look like? Yeah, I was going to say, who do you look like someone?
I don't know. I mean, people give me doppelgangers all the time.
Who do they give you?
Dude, it's never like even close. Like for a long time, people were
Susan
like.
Susan Boyle? I'm kidding.
No.
Oh my God. I'm kidding.
I wish.
No, you look great.
No, people would say Lana Del Rey's my hair. And I was like, I do not look like Lana Del Rey. I wish. She was cute. But like, no. And,
I get Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. You get Luke?
That's what they say. Anakin, I think.
Oh, Anakin. I see much more.
I think they say Anakin.
Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen.
Part of your face, yeah. Like your eyes and stuff.
That's
like
what
your
I get.
T-zone.
People say that. I don't know.
I see it.
Yeah.
I see that one. Luke, I was going to be like, I don't see it.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Maybe they'll put you in Star Wars as like a relative or something.
That'd be crazy.
Would you ever do something like that? Like, do you like the nerdy stuff?
Yeah, that'd be insane.
It'd be fucking awesome, right?
Imagine if I said no.
Dude,
how crazy would that be?
That would actually be insane, but people did used to
be. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Nah, it's some nerd shit.
Good.
People
I'll
used to be more
check.
Hostile to like dorky stuff, and now it's like dorky stuff is cool stuff.
Yeah, like John Hamm said he wants to be in the MCU. It's like.
He wants to be in the MCU.
I think we all know why.
I mean, for sure.
Who the fuck?
Make bank.
Yeah, who doesn't want to be in the MCU?
Put me in a morph suit and get me in there.
Right.
You know, that's all they do. They just churn it out.
Exactly.
Are you, when you were growing up, were you like a Superman kid? Spider-Man.
I like the Adam West Batman.
You like Adam
the
West
old,
Batman?
The old
dude,
Batman.
You would.
I would watch the Adam West Batman.
That's actually very you.
I don't know. Why was I even watching? I don't even know where that was airing.
Dude, probably Boomerang.
Boomerang.
You're welcome.
That is exactly right. It was Boomerang.
I loved Boomerang.
That is so crazy that people don't. How old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay, why'd you say it so sad?
Because I almost said 28, and then I was like, that's not right.
No,
and
because
people in the comments are going to be like, she's lying about her age already.
But no, because I'm trying to think, like, what's the cutoff with Boomerang?
Dude, Boomerang.
What's like, the earliest point with Boomerang?
The earliest point with Boomerang, I want to say, is like Pink Panther.
Okay.
And then, like, maybe
Steve
the
Martin
cutoff.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then maybe the cutoff is like very late Flintstones, very late Scooby Doo. Like, when they still just
great
had
conversation.
Like black dots.
This is dating app preferences. Like, Boomerang is the age range.
Where it's like, do you know what Boomerang is? Name a show. Name a niche show where they
but
barely talk.
I was watching, I like Super, I liked, what else did I like? I mean, I watched a lot of Family Guy. A lot of American Dad, hey bitch. Want some chocodiles and pecan sandies. I watched a lot of YouTube though, because I grew up with YouTube.
Yeah.
So I was watching a lot of like Ed Sullivan shows.
Mm.
It's totally normal of a
yeah, that's a super
person
normal.
Born in 1998.
Choice for a child.
But I would watch a lot of like old shit. Jack Benny.
Interesting. Did you ever watch like the weird like animation shit like Salad Fingers and Llamas
no.
with Hats and stuff?
No.
Dude, you should watch Llamas with Hats. You could do a sick Carl.
Okay.
I believe you.
Okay.
He's got like a... Actually, Carl's voice kind of sounds like your normal speaking voice.
Okay.
And there's another llama that sounds a little like Linda from Bob's Burgers. Like,
my mother's
Carl!
Name is Linda. So maybe really? I'm going to check it out. Yeah.
Do you like Bob's Burgers?
Yeah.
Good voices
yeah.
Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you do any Bob's? I feel like the guy who does Bob's voice, because it's his natural speaking voice, because he's like Archer, Bob, and like a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a very distinct voice.
For 10,000, I'll do it. Yeah. See how I think? Got to pay the bills, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. I'm not giving you $10,000 for Bob.
That'd be crazy if you did that. Like,
imagine if I was like, oh, here you go. Of course.
Be great.
I need to hear Bob.
That'd be great.
Would you ever want to do like your own cartoon?
100%. That'd be insane.
That'd be awesome. Like a Big Mouth?
That would be insane. All right, my dude, Coach Steve, man. Oh my God, you're crazy. I love the Nick Kroll ones.
Nick Kroll's
good. Yeah. I would. That would be insane. I've been doing a lot of stuff with Colbert's team. I'm doing a lot of like voiceover for them.
Nice.
So they do like these animated. I did like Mitch McConnell and Ted Cruz. I did Tucker Carlson. So animation's the best.
You know what? Since you said Ted Cruz and like you could fulfill this like fantasy of mine, I've always wanted
what?
To like.
What? Say it again?
No, not like that. Not like that.
Your mother's here.
Not like that.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Not like that. Remember when Donald Trump said Ted Cruz's wife was ugly? And then Ted Cruz later
he said his wife
him.
Was a dog.
Did he say she was a dog?
I think he said a dog. I'm pretty
he probably
sure
did, honestly.
And now Ted Cruz is licking his balls.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to be like if I had a genie, I would wish for this. I want to be a fly on the wall for the conversation of Ted talking to his wife about it and being like, honey, I've got to endorse him.
I know he thinks you're a pig, but he's going to be a damn great president. I'm going to go to Cancun now. Yeah.
Thank you.
I know he's a pig, but I know he thinks you're a piglet. Oinky, oinky pig, but he's still my guy. That's hilarious. We just wrote
please.
A bit.
We did write a bit.
That was a good bit. I might do that on stage.
You should do it. I would love that.
I like that.
I'd be like, I helped.
That's good. Yes. 100%.
Thank you.
I'll Venmo you $50 for the writing credit.
What about 10,000?
Don't you know how this works? The men make more.
I'm trying to get like you.
It's entertainment.
You said I had a good stand-up fit.
It was. Oh, you did. Yeah, for sure.
I'm trying to get there.
Harry Styles.
How am I going to have more fit to Harry Styles?
I like it. I like it.
Can you do Harry Styles?
I do like a mini one. Probably Gucci. I don't know, Harry. It's like a micro.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. Were you ever into like boy bands like that or not? I feel like nah, because you're really. You said that you the like Beatles, Frank Sinatra.
I mean, I grew up. I watched like what was that show like about Big Time Rush?
Oh yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, like, I remember that.
Obviously, One Direction. That was my childhood.
That was you were a Big Time Rush kid.
I mean, I watched it for sure.
I would that would come on, and I'd be like, eh, they don't do it for me, and I'd go to Boomerang instead. I was more of a Cartoon Network kid.
Okay,
than like Disney. Do you feel like you were like the class clown growing up or not?
I think I had a very consistent personality. Like I always loved. Comedy, like I said, I would make noise. Like George Carlin had an album called Class Clown. He would talk about making noises.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely relate to that. I would just go like in the middle of a class, I would just go, oh. And then everybody, like, it was, oh. Like I think the teacher wanted to kill me. But yeah, 100%.
Why that noise?
I don't know.
You just
when you're
liked
11,
it?
You want it when you, the best laughter is when like you're dying uncontrollably with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where it comes from.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's, I don't know why I made that noise. It was just hilarious.
It's just when
I was
intuitive. Like 11.
Oh. Oh.
Okay, it's funny. I like the noise.
Thank you.
That's working on me, and I'm not 11.
Thank you.
So
it's good.
There's that. If you were to do like a movie, would you rather like write your own movie, or would you rather star in like an iconic writer's movie?
I think either one would be great.
Either one?
Either one would be great. I love the options, but yeah. Either one would be great.
Do you feel like if you had to pick like aspirational communist movie? If you had to pick an aspirational comedy movie, like what's your go-to comedy movie?
You know what was so good? I just watched that Something's Gotta Give.
It's good?
That was so good. Well, you know that Jack Nicholson movie?
Mm-hmm.
That one's great. But I'm not going to be in the remake of Something's Gotta Give. I mean, who knows?
You're like, I don't know. Like, yes,
I do love a rom-com, Crazy Stupid Love. I love that movie.
Oh, I love
that. I don't know. Like, there's obviously all the Apatow movies, like 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the new Glenn Powell movie, Hitman.
Okay, I was going to watch that.
I think he's brilliant.
He is really funny.
And he's a very nice, he's a nice guy. I know him. But no, he's great. And very, I think he co-wrote it too. He was hilarious.
Did he really co-write it?
It's amazing. But yeah, I don't know. That's a good question too.
I feel like you would do really well on something that has like heavy character actors. Like, even though like Ryan Murphy is very hit or miss, mm-hmm. like Scream Queens, I don't know if you've seen that.
Okay.
That show was so fucking funny. And
the
Glenn
politician, you seen that one? Yeah.
The Politician is so good.
That was a TV show, yeah.
That was a really good show.
Was
good.
There was the other one, Hollywood or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that one, but I heard that that was really good.
That was good.
Okay. So is there anything that you wouldn't do that's like a common comedy trope or something?
I don't... Blackface?
Well, that's unfortunately like, yeah, that is kind of a common comedy trope.
What would I not do? I mean... Again, I don't know. I like these hypotheticals. You're talking to me like I'm like Jason Sudeikis. This is good. I just saw John Hamm do a Hollywood roundtable. He was like, you know, my piece of advice would be, it's okay to say no to things. I'm like, right now I'm at the stage of saying yes.
You to gotta, everything.
But I don't know. That's another good question.
Since you brought up blackface, Tropic Thunder.
I love this. I love the transition. let's just start... That, and then let's pan to the rest of the room.
That's the clip. You better accept my Instagram collaboration that starts with, since we're talking about blackface.
Right. I'm not going to accept that.
Please. No, but Tropic Thunder.
Uh-huh.
I rewatched that recently. Like, I obviously didn't forget Robert Downey Jr. does blackface in it, but I was, like, surprised still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that, like people actually, like that was really well received. People defend that to the ends of the earth. That's too edgy for you though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say no to that as well. I'm surprised he said yes to it actually, because he was
I think it was like years ago. It was like 15 years ago before a lot of movements and things. I think
it was society before. It was also like an all-star cast. Maybe there was pressure where they were like,
for sure,
Rob, you know, none of us want to do it.
Yeah.
But we need someone to do it. Yeah. And that someone's going to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled the short straw.
Yeah.
That is also like Tom Cruise's funniest movie, which normally I don't find him that funny, but he's actually really funny in that movie.
I don't think he cares what we think. Yeah.
He doesn't. He doesn't care at all.
Yeah.
Would you ever do like a serious movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm at a point like a lot of things interest me, like the drama, the comedy, hosting. Like, I think it's just like, I 100%.
You're just all about entertainment no matter what?
Absolutely. Make them laugh.
Is there anything that like, you wouldn't go into? Like, would you ever like do music, like a joke album or a serious album?
I would. I did video with Michael Bublé like a few months ago. We did a duet together.
Well, you're a good singer.
I did a thing with him. Yeah,
I could see you being a good singer.
I do a Michael Bublé. I'm not surprised, not everything lasts. Yeah,
that was
did a little Luke Bryan thing at Rock and Eve.
Okay.
Country girl, shake it for me now. Yeah.
Okay. So
baby, lock them doors and turn the latch down low. That'd be fun. Like Bo Burnham, I love. He's brilliant at what he does.
He's really good. So you would do something like that, man?
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, maybe a little soft porn. You never know where you can go.
You would just go start an OnlyFans.
Like it.
Would you ever do Playboy?
Me, I'll be Trump and Stormy Daniels, the real one, will do a nice video.
Dude, would you, I'm so seriously asking this. Would you dress up as like a character and then do like a Playboy spread or something? Like, would you do a Donald Trump Playboy?
I don't see why not.
I think you should.
Fuck it. Who cares?
What if I call Playboy right after
Let's see what we can arrange. Again, for a fee, anything's possible.
I'll make sure that they pay you very generously. Okay,
thank you. You'll get a commission. Flag. Yeah.
It better be at least $10,000. I'm trying to work that in.
Hopefully it'd
be
more for Playboy.
I mean, my commission, yeah, I hope that it would be higher.
For sure.
I'll set that up for you.
Thank you.
There we go. Okay. Do you feel like when you talk about political stuff, you're platforming ideologies that people don't like? Like when you talk about Donald Trump because he's not on socials, do people ever get pissed about that? Like where you quote him directly and then they're like, oh no, now people are hearing from him again.
I mean, you know, like there's late night, there's like the news. Like if we're going to go down that road, like you have a podcast, you talk about things like he's a everywhere. Presidential nominee. Like there's a 50% chance he's the president. Mm-hmm. So people that say like you're giving him a platform, like, I'm doing an impression of him. It's like, it's comedy. And also like, I'm saying his quotes. Like he actually says this shit, but that's a good question. That's just criticism and I have to keep doing my thing. Cause if you keep leaning into it too much, the criticism, then you're gonna go crazy.
I did see like, I have seen like people complain about things like that in the past, not with you in particular.
No, it's a good point though. I guess it depends on how you do it, too. Yeah. It depends on how you do it.
Well, it's also like you make a good point. Like he's a presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say like, maybe you're
not
like,
being Logan Paul, having him on my podcast.
Yeah. Like maybe you're echoing things that he said. But I think there's a little bit of a difference between echoing an ideology and amplifying an ideology. Like,
yeah.
If he was somebody with next to no platform.
This is comedy. It's comedy.
Yeah. If he didn't have a platform and you were mimicking him and now you're bringing these ideas that are like maybe unpopular.
Well, if I was doing an impression to be like a racist sociopath,
yeah,
it's you can't do that.
Yeah, that's like a line. Exactly, yeah, exactly. And you would be platforming someone who maybe people don't know about, but like everybody knows about Donald Trump at this point. You know, whether they like it or not.
I'd hope they would know who he is.
Yeah, I mean, that would be crazy if they didn't at this point. If he brought back The Apprentice, would you go on it?
That's a very good question, by the way. I mean,
thank you.
You've hit some really good, these are like Sean Evans hot one type questions.
Thanks.
Oh my God. Is he the host of it again?
Of course.
That's a really good question. I could have a bit of a Jimmy Fallon hair ruffle problem if I accept. I guess back to you in a moment. I don't know. I'm not really answering a lot of your questions. I'm just saying, I don't know. I would like, probably, I think that'd be interesting.
It happens all the time.
Two Trumps.
Yeah. I think it would be fun. And I also like wonder if he would either, like, I feel like it could go either way. Like, he kicks you off right away where he's like, all right, we had the bit.
Yep.
You're fired. Mm-hmm. Or, which actually, will you say you're fired really quick?
You're fired like a dog.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Or he would have you on to the very end and make you win because he's like, this guy gets it.
Yeah, it was funny because he tweeted out about the correspondence dinner, like Colin Jost was terrible, blah, blah, blah. I wish he mentioned me. I'm pissed.
You're pissed?
I wish I had a little shout out.
I want to know what would happen if you like debated him.
I would fucking destroy him in a debate.
You think so?
I would do him. I'm challenging him right now.
Look in the camera.
I challenge Donald John Trump to a debate. You know, the thing about it, to his credit, he does know a lot of stuff. He just says it very stupidly.
Yeah.
But he has a lot of information. Like, he does know stuff. But I would just do what he does. I would talk over him. I'd say, you're a dog. You're fat. You're nasty. You're a pig. You're a fat slob like Chris Christie. So I would just do him. I would do all of his moves. I have more energy.
That would be, you do, because you're younger.
I do.
I think that would be incredible because, I mean, like Michael and I were talking about this earlier. Like, what happens when you bully a bully?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And like people try and go toe to toe with him all the time, but the thing is like they can't really match his energy.
Yes.
Actually, yeah, pussy to pussy.
Yeah.
They can't really match his energy though.
No,
like,
that's my complaint with all these interviewers. I wouldn't know how to handle it.
You would know how to handle it.
He would be talking, I would say, you know what? No, please. You're a terrible, nasty, sad person. Just let me finish my question. Shut your mouth. That's what I would say.
I think he would lose it.
I
think that might be the antidote.
It might be.
To debating him.
It's not going
to
happen, but it
might
be.
Maybe the next.
It's like happen. Biden when he said, will you shut up, man? In that first debate. Like mm-hmm. That was effective because he was.
Yeah. He went for it.
Exactly.
If I was running for office against him, I would just pull you up where I'd be like, I'd like to phone a friend.
That's hilarious. You know? Phone a friend.
And be like.
Phone a mad friend.
Yeah. I'd be like, now. Please. Because I'd be like, I'd do my bullet points of like, these are the things I want to accomplish. And then I'd bring you out and be like, and now derail the debate for me.
Derail it.
Make sure he doesn't say anything for the rest of this time. And you could do it.
I think that's good. Make it happen. You're an agent. This is great.
I'm telling you, I'm getting gigs.
You're like a manager. Yeah, this is good.
That's my calling, maybe.
Good.
Maybe I need to change careers right now.
It's great.
This is the last podcast episode.
All right.
I'm managing Matt now.
Thank you.
But I do love that like you did the correspondence dinner because I love the idea of them calling you up and being like, hey, can you make fun of half the room?
It's not even like half the room. It's like, are we playing footsie a little bit? Did you feel that?
We touched.
That's kind of the mission though. Like that's why the headliners like Colbert, Conan, mm-hmm. all these guys, Kimmel, like it's always notoriously impossible.
Yeah.
So everybody goes, oh, there's gasps. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just how it.
And they look at you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's a very serious issue. He's making fun of him.
But thankfully, Mitch McConnell's face united the room.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
It did.
It really did. It and did. You do his face really well.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I bring these little glasses with me.
So. Can you do a Mitt Romney?
A Mitt Romney. Kind of. No, he's a little nasally.
He is.
A little Mitt Romney.
Utah.
Yeah, kind of. Is he your governor? No?
No, no, but he is just got the Utah voice. Yeah,
yes, he does.
You know? What I want to know, and this is the most divisive question of all.
Please.
If you had to pick, like, a preferred one, American Dad or Family Guy?
Oh, well, Family Guy.
Really?
I love American Dad, but Family Guy. And they're the ones putting me on their show, so thank you. Family Guy, absolutely.
An inherent bias.
Exactly. Family, but that was like the one that made me.
Yeah, okay.
Seth MacFarlane's like my idol.
He's incredibly good. You're kind of on the Seth track, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, he's the best.
He's absolutely the best.
Yeah, he's the man.
I want him to do another movie like
a Ted. Ways to or like a million. I just rewatched that Neil Patrick Harris in that movie. Remember how he was so funny? The mustache.
Was so funny.
Insane.
He's so funny in general. Where has he been?
He's amazing.
I love him.
He's amazing.
He's incredible. Would you ever do, since like now we know you're a great singer, would you do a comedy musical? Like,
yes. I love this. Half the podcast. Would you ever do? Absolutely.
Yes to
whoever's
everything.
Directing and casting. Let's go. Let's make it happen.
Okay. So
this is how I got the NHL awards. I went on someone's podcast and go, would you ever host the NHL awards? And then it happened.
Is that actually
true? That is
not
true. But, I like the idea.
I was going to say, the people in the comments, manifesting.
We're manifesting.
Manifesting is real. He's
absolutely.
Manifesting.
Yes.
Is there anything on social media that you've gotten like crazy backlash for where you like regret it or not?
No.
No?
No.
Is there any jokes that you feel like are off limits besides blackface?
Of course.
Of course, but a lot of comedians say no.
I think that's a product of a generational thing. I think it's about how you frame certain subjects. Mm-hmm. A lot of comedians say you can't say anything anymore. I think like you just got to get more creative with what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like I think it's just like it's an interesting conversation of like, are we too sensitive as a society or are we just joking about things that like shouldn't be necessarily joked about anymore? I think it's just like finding the right balance. Mm-hmm. Hannah Einbinder, I think, had an interesting quote. She's like, people that are saying that they can't say anything anymore are the same people that are selling out stadiums.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's true.
So
that's how we're seeing the clips.
But it's an interesting blend. It'll be interesting to see how this continues to evolve.
Yeah, because a lot of people are like,
like they say we can't say anything anymore. Who's the biggest comedian? One of the biggest comedians in the country is Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
So.
And he's killing it. And he says a lot of things that are like technically like jokes that would normally be like off limits.
Exactly.
But you're right. It's the framing of it.
It's the framing of it.
It's the approach.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's all just about creativity, basically.
Yeah, I think so.
Like you're ever gonna like get old in comedy and then be like, this generation's gotten too soft.
I think it's like, how do you work a certain technological device when I'm like 60? I'm like, that's probably gonna happen. Yeah. It probably inevitably will happen.
Probably.
I love the idea of Gen Z getting to that point. That's funny.
That's funny.
Like
we
think that the younger generation's gotten too soft. That'll be funny.
I think that's already
2065
happening. Yeah. Like I'm already seeing people be like,
it might be
Alpha.
It might be.
They're crazy.
Okay.
It's probably right now.
I think it's happening.
It is happening right now.
I think it's happening.
Do you love being Gen Z? Do you hate it? Do you feel indifferent?
I love it. Pretty. I love it.
I love it.
Pretty indifferent. But your mom's about to fall asleep. She's so bored with this podcast. But I love it. It's funny because all comedians hate Gen Z.
I know.
They're like, oh, geez, Gen Zers, you know, so woke, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I'm younger than you, so I'm enjoying myself.
You're like, I'm going to outlive you.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's classic, though. Like, it's just like the generational divide. I mean, they were saying that about like millennials like 10 years ago, too.
You're a millennial, though. You're just the cutoff. You missed.
I'm actually Zillennial. No, I'm kidding. I think I am a millennial because I'm 1995. But like Zillennial is like a term I've been seeing people invent.
No.
And I think they're just having a hard time.
If you wear those
coping.
Shoes, you can say whatever you want.
So true. Well, not everything.
I like it.
Maybe not everything.
I like
but
a couple things.
I think that Zillennial is people having a hard time coping with aging. You know?
Yeah.
Where they're like, I want to be Gen Z still.
Probably.
And it's okay. Get old. Be old. Get wrinkly. Get gross. For you. Do you have like an age where you want to like quit comedy or are you just going to do comedy into your grave?
These hypotheticals are incredible.
Are they?
I love the visualization of the future. No, I think like I look like Seinfeld's the peak example.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's achieved everything, but he's still doing it. This is like a thing where obviously there's things I'm chasing, going for, but like I'm always going to be doing it for sure. Like coming up, the creative brain I don't think ever stops.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be creating. That just won't stop, I don't think. God willing, it won't stop.
Okay. Your family, like since you said you come from like a happy, functional household,
mm-hmm.
are they just like crazy proud of you or what?
Yeah, I think it's crazy. Like everything I'm doing, it just doesn't really make sense. It's just so wild. Like every time something like this happens, it's just, it's insane. I mean, because my friends are like in finance, like lawyers or normal. So like these things I'm doing are very unusual.
They're like, how do you get paid for stuff?
Exactly.
How does that work?
Exactly.
What's going, do you get paid time off?
OnlyFans. Yeah.
OnlyFans as Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Are you dating anybody?
I'm single at the moment on the apps.
On the apps. How is that?
It's good.
Are you on like Raya? Mm-hmm. Are you on the normal apps?
Blackpeoplemeet.com.
Interesting.
I'm
digital
on,
blackface.
Farmersonly.com. But yeah, I'm on the apps.
Do you like the apps?
I think they're interesting. You know, I'm I'd rather just do podcasts. See what happens, right, Mom? hey now. But no, I do. They're entertaining. Swiping.
Well, you're witty, so I feel like, do you have like a go-to opener or do you tailor it to the person?
I think it probably is tailored to the person. Yeah.
What do you – do you have like – do you have one that you think is like your favorite interaction?
From an app?
Yeah.
Why don't you match with me and find out? Good night, America.
I had like a picture of me winking on an app once and a guy thought I didn't have an eye.
Oh God.
And asked me about it. And like,
well, that is a glass eye.
Yeah. Well, it is, but no, it's not. But he asked me about it in great detail where I was like, is that like a problem for you? God. I got very like fake offended about it. Where I was like, you're not okay with that. And he was like, no, no, I'm okay with it. It's just like a big mental adjustment for me. And I was like, you don't seem okay with it. Pretty much everyone's been okay with it, but you.
Well, that guy missed out.
Yeah, well, he absolutely did.
Yeah, he missed.
He got way too caught up on the eye.
Mm.
It's hard.
Eye fucking? That's a good thing to do.
See, and that's what he could have, you know, he missed out on.
Yeah. Fuck.
It sucks to be him.
Sucks.
If you were like an alien looking at Earth, what would you say is like the most defining characteristic of humanity?
I just love that. You have this project, this podcast. Mm-hmm. You're like, let me think of some questions. And like, you're like, I'm in the same boat as I'm creating a podcast. Like, this is a good one. If you were an alien looking at Earth, and this is a very good question. It is hard to make questions, and you're very good at it. I'm like, this is good.
Thank
you.
Good.
If I was an alien, defining characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, racism? No. A defining characteristic of humans?
It doesn't have to be like deep. Like, what do you think is just like the first thing you would notice?
Oh my God. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, that's good.
Would there be more aliens than humans?
I think I would just notice like, there's a lot of cars. People drive a lot of cars.
Uh-huh.
Like, that would probably be the first thing I think about.
Interesting.
Just because
you would know what a car is, though, if you were an
alien. No, I'd be like, what is that? Like,
if you're an alien, you'd be.
I'd be like, are you guys a part of the car? Like, I feel like because highways are everywhere, like, that would be like my go-to thing is to be like, what's up with cars? What do you think, like, Donald Trump?
I'd be an alien. No, say it again.
What do you think Donald Trump thinks about aliens?
I think he thinks they should go back over the wall.
You think so?
Different type of alien, right?
It is a different type. It is a different type. Did you see that like speech that he did where everybody was speculating that like he went to Area 51 and like saw aliens because of his like reaction to being like, we need a space force.
He just says the craziest shit where anything is possible. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, maybe. But I feel like if Trump had seen aliens, it would have come out at some point. Like
that's
he would have
what I think.
All the classified documents. Like he says everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way.
It would be, especially post-presidency, I feel like the first thing he would do is be like, and aliens exist, by the way. I only know that because I was president. You wouldn't know that if it wasn't for me. You're
literally.
Welcome.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Exactly.
You think that that means they don't exist or that they just didn't trust him with it?
That would be really fucked up.
Right? If they were like,
imagine he's the alien guy's like, even though he won, we can't give him the alien shit.
We're not giving him that. He'll tell everyone.
Exactly.
Do you think that they like, would hide aliens? You think people would even care that much about it?
I don't know.
I feel like people wouldn't care as much about aliens.
I think it's possible. I don't know why they would. It seems to be a lot more pressing. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of danger. I wonder if it would unite the world, though, if there was like some alien invasion.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people,
Palestine and Israel come together. We got to beat these aliens.
They'd be like, look at that situation.
Exactly.
That's crazy. We're on the same team. We're on Team Earth
now. Team Earth.
Yeah.
Then we defeat the aliens and start killing each other again.
And be like, finally, we can relax and go back
We just took their planet and then there was more space for all the humans to not fight over land.
You know what? You're kind of cooking over there. Maybe you enter politics.
There we go.
Maybe you're like, guys, I think we got to focus on aliens more.
Maybe I will.
Solve the world's problems.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you could.
Fuck.
There's a lot of people from entertainment switching over. You never know.
Al Franken.
Yeah.
Minus the cancellation, but yeah.
He got canceled?
It was like a whole thing. I forgot what happened.
Oh.
Weird.
What would you do if you got canceled? Like, would it depend on what you're getting canceled for?
Again, I think it's a great question. I love the hypotheticals, but I don't know. I don't know. Again, I don't know. What would you do?
I
don't know. That's such a good question.
I think if I got canceled, like, obviously it does depend a little on like what like I'm getting canceled for, but I think I would just apologize immediately. Like
start a podcast.
Yeah. And I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Like, I think I would just go out and be like, I'm so sorry. Like, I never understand the people who get canceled and then they're like, I'm not the problem. You're the problem. You know, because I feel like that sounds really hard.
Kevin Spacey's back with Piers Morgan.
Dude, you do a good.
Oh, thank you very much. Why don't you ask Kevin on your show next time what he thinks?
I would love. Actually, yeah. Like, Kevin, how was it getting canceled?
Well, it wasn't fun, was it?
Not for you.
No, it was not.
Oh, why'd you make that Christmas video?
Well, because I wanted to get back into character to announce my return to Netflix.
And did they let you return, Kevin?
They did not. Thank you very much. Yeah, he's so creepy the way he looks at the camera.
It was a crazy video. Yeah. I kind of respected just like the unabashed like moxie of it all to just be like, I'm going for it.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care at all.
Imagine if Cosby did that.
Dude. Returns in character. That'd be like crazy though. It's like, I think that when he uploaded that, he thought people were going to be like, God, we miss him. Because why else would you?
Some probably did. I mean, he's undeniably a brilliant actor.
No, he's really good.
Undeniably.
That's what makes
you should ask him, what would you do if you got canceled? Be like, what?
And he'd be like,
make it happen.
You don't know? And I'd be like, don't know what?
You don't know? Yeah, he does a podcast. No one knows what happened.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you, Kevin, you're so beloved.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
So you think you would apologize or not? Or you would just freeze?
I think I would freeze like McConnell.
Yeah. You just come out in an impression and apologize.
Pretty much.
That could kind of be the movie. You were saying in one of your stand-ups that like what's great about impressions is you can say fucked up shit via other people.
That's correct.
So like how often do you take advantage of that?
A lot.
Like all every day?
The Trump one, the Howard one, those are ones that you can bill even. Mm-hmm. You can say things that I can't really get away with saying.
Right.
In their voice.
Okay.
I was saying I have Howard on my Hinge profile as my voice. So you just say, I got to tell you, you have the best ass I've ever seen. I want to bang you. Look at those tits. Robin, do you see those tits? Unbelievable. Right. Right. I didn't say it. He said it.
That's true. He said it, not you.
Exactly.
All right. Since you've got your podcast coming up.
Yes.
Let's get our shameless plug.
No, it's on Club Random Studios with Bill Maher. Okay, great. It's coming up soon, a few weeks. So it's my Instagram is at the Matt Friend. So follow me there. And see me on Truth Social.
That was really good.
I'm just, we're not on Truth Social and that'd be terrible.
Well, obviously, but like, I still liked it.
Can you believe how much I was myself this interview? Was it boring?
What? No, I wanted to know
about
you.
Am I enough?
Classic entertainment angle.
Exactly.
Please love me. No, I really liked how much you were yourself.
Thank you.
And like, you obviously really effortlessly slipped in your impressions as you do.
Slip it in.
People want to know about you too, not just like who you play.
Well, thank you.
I wanted
who
to
I
know
play.
About you.
Like I'm Daniel Day-Lewis.
You're very profesh.
Thank you.
You're a professional in the entertainment industry.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming
on.
I
appreciate you. What a host.
Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.